Good morning. Would you please join with me in the prayer of illumination that is printed in the bulletin? We listen carefully to your word, O God, seeking, hoping, praying to understand. We search for meaning in the text and then discover that we only learn for our lives in our interactions with each other and in the breaking of bread. Be made known to us today, loving God. Be made known. Amen. This morning, our gospel reading is taken from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Jesus is known in the breaking of bread. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Herein is wisdom. Praise be to God."
So is Jesus just a memory of a nice, loving, kind, caring person? Is Jesus just a memory, or is Jesus something more? A memory is what the disciples thought he was going to be as they walked down that road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It was 7 miles, about 12 kilometers, steeply downhill as you went toward Emmaus, which was the path that they were taking at the moment when this story is captured. Two disciples, Cleopas and another, not from the inner circle of the 12, but two disciples who had been with Jesus, spent many hours with Jesus, many weeks and days, walking and talking after all the events of the past week, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, teaching at the temple, Jesus' fit of anger at the same temple, sharing the Passover meal with Jesus, praying in the garden, though some of them slept more than they prayed that night. Then the horror, the nightmare of Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. Even the news from Peter and Mary Magdalene that the tomb was empty and that Jesus had risen from the dead only added to the overwhelming feelings and thoughts racing through their heads. A 12-kilometer walk was just what they needed, a day's journey to process all that had happened and try to make sense of it. But these two disciples fully expected that Jesus was now just a memory. Even reports of his resurrection wouldn't have fully changed their expectations. They would remember Jesus lovingly, gratefully, but now memories were all they had of Jesus. No more teaching on the hillside. No more boat rides across the Sea of Galilee. No more late-night discussions around the fire. No more feeding thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was amazing while it lasted, but now it was a memory. Jesus was a memory. That's what they were thinking when a stranger joined them on the road. It was always better to travel in groups along this stretch of the road, known for its robbers and bandits. Think the story of the Good Samaritan, if that's familiar to you. So the two disciples gladly welcomed this traveler to walk with them as they continued to Emmaus. Now the stranger was a good listener, and with one question he set the whole conversation in motion. What were you discussing with each other while you walked along? He saw the sadness in their faces, the weariness in their bodies, the raw grief that defined them. One of the disciples, Cleopas, answered, "Surely you know, you can't have been in Jerusalem and not known what was happening. You must be the only one." The stranger nodded and responded, "What things happened?" And with that, the two disciples began to share everything about Jesus, all their memories, all the things Jesus taught, the healing he did, the suppers he had. It all flowed out. They found in the stranger a willing listener, but also a learned person who caught on quickly to Jesus' teachings and pulled things from Scripture to expand upon what he was hearing from the disciples. The time passed quickly as they discussed and debated, and suddenly they were in Emmaus. The disciples turned to enter the village, but the stranger looked as if he would continue on down the road. Now, the disciples feared for this stranger's safety on the road at night, but they also wanted to continue this wonderful conversation, so they begged him to stop and join them for the night in Emmaus. Without much urging, he agreed and joined them for the evening meal. So now this next part is one of my favorite parts in the New Testament. Luke writes, "So he went with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them." It's what we do at our communion meal, right? It's what Jesus did at his Last Supper with the disciples, as well as at many other meals that he shared. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then Luke continues, "Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and then he vanished from their sight." The two disciples were stunned. Suddenly, everything on the road made sense to them. Now they knew why the stranger was so knowledgeable about all that Jesus taught, because he was Jesus, and they recognized him. but only in the breaking of the bread. Not in the words, but in the action. Jesus was with them. They were not alone. And immediately they got up and walked 7 miles uphill, and some of you have seen that road and how uphill it is, that steep road to Jerusalem, in the dark, on a dangerous path, no longer fearing the robbers and bandits, because they just had to tell the 11 disciples, actually, at that point, that Jesus had risen indeed and had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus was no longer in the status of memory in their lives. Jesus was now real again in a new and mysterious way. Can we explain resurrection? No. Can we give scientific reasoning for what the disciples experienced? No. Resurrection is mysterious. We can try to explain what really happened to these disciples as a spiritual experience or a physical reality and debate back and forth. But the truth is, it is a mystery, a wonderful mystery. How do we know that something powerful happened? We know by looking at these disciples, these two disciples who had just traveled what was considered a full day's journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, exhausting for anyone, turned right around and made the same journey uphill, this time on a road where they could easily be attacked or robbed. You don't do that just for a memory, no matter how good that memory is. The 11 disciples, because Judas was gone by this point, head out after this time to share the good news far and wide. These were the same disciples who come off as bumbling fools in most of the Gospels. They never quite understand what Jesus is teaching them. They block the children from coming to Jesus when Jesus wants the children there. They fight over who will sit in the best seat in the resurrection with Jesus in heaven. They deny knowing Jesus and run away when he's arrested, and then hide away in a locked room in fear for their own situation. These are not natural leaders and influential people at this point. But suddenly, after experiencing the resurrection, they are leaders. They are influential, taking risks in order to proclaim the good news. They are jailed, some are martyred. This profound, mysterious happening, the resurrection, has totally transformed their lives. Jesus is with them. They are not alone. Jesus was not just a nice, loving memory for those disciples. I doubt that they would have done what they did in the following years if Jesus had been crucified, buried, and that was the end of the story. Oh, the stories he told might have been told for a few years more because they were good stories. Some of the things he did might have become legend in and around Galilee, but that would have been all. As the first generations passed, even the wonderful memories would have faded and Jesus would have been lost to history or remembered only as a footnote in Jewish annals. But here we are, 2,000 years later, part of some 2.2 billion people worldwide who follow the way of Jesus. A memory of a Jewish rabbi doesn't create a worldwide, living, lasting movement. It's something more. Jesus is something more than a nice memory for us. We follow something more than a nice memory. But I wonder, how does it feel in your heart? How do you look at your relationship with Jesus? Some Christian denominations talk a lot about being born again and having the experience of accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. And that's not language that we have used a lot in our tradition. However, there's something to it. Something about having Jesus as a real presence in our lives and not just a nice memory. A real mysterious presence, but real. Now that is something that transforms hearts and minds and lives. That's what the disciples described of their experience on that road to Emmaus. And that is what we can experience in this place, this time, together. A real, loving, caring presence of Jesus. A few weeks ago when I was working with the children, worshiping with the children in their space, I think it was Easter Sunday, we were talking about Jesus and about Jesus being here and real with us. And one of the little girls said, very matter of fact, I know. I saw Jesus standing right beside the table when you were praying after the offering. Do we chalk that up to a child's imagination? Just like some of the first disciples told the women they were telling lies when they said Jesus had risen. Or do we accept and understand that Jesus is with us in a very real way, a living way? We say the words all the time, God is with us, we are not alone, Jesus is here. But do we believe them? Do we hold on to them and grasp them? It is quite powerful to believe that Jesus is standing here in our midst right now. Pretty powerful. But also hard to believe in some ways because we don't all see him with our eyes or feel him with our hearts. It's also scary to believe that Jesus is here right now, right amongst us right now, because it demands something of us. We are held accountable as those who have committed ourselves to following the way of Jesus. If Jesus is just a memory of a person who lived in the distant past, then it's nice to be here. Commendable that we still follow his teachings. But to know that Jesus is right here, right now, in this place, in our midst, aware of us and loving us, then that takes what we do to a whole new level. The disciples on that road to Emmaus said, weren't our hearts burning within us as we walked along the road and listened to what he had to say? Are our hearts burning within us? Burning with the energy of God's Spirit, the wonder of Jesus' living presence among us, and the conviction that what we do here matters. What we do here as a loving, hopeful presence in this community and in this world makes a difference. I truly believe that we would not be gathered here today if Jesus was just a memory of a really, really, really nice man, an extremely loving person who told good stories and could capture the attention of a crowd. There have been others like that through the century, and while their names might be logged somewhere in the history books, they did not do what Jesus did. They did not inspire what Jesus inspired, what Jesus continues to inspire in his followers. We are gathered here because of Jesus, who is a living, loving presence among us. Some of us might have visions of Jesus. Some of us might feel the Spirit of Jesus burning in our hearts, alive in our minds. Some of us might come to this table and know Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Some of us might know Jesus best in the other people of this community, in what we do together. There are many ways we can know Jesus' living presence. It's really quite a mystery, but a mystery that inspires hearts and minds in amazing ways. When we proclaim God is with us, we are not alone, it means something so powerful. When we sing, Jesus, stand among us in your risen power, we are declaring a belief in a living, loving Savior. We are not just following a memory. What we do here is not just nice and commendable. What we do here, worshiping, caring, helping, healing, creating help and home and hope, offering love, what we do here is powerful beyond what we might imagine. And we do all we do as a community of help, home, and hope in the name of Jesus Christ, our living, loving Savior, our presence in our midst. Amen.